Welcome to the first podcast of Open Wide Look Inside. In this episode, we'll explore counting books and the ways they can be used in instruction. What makes a good counting book? Ideally, a good counting book should elicit participation on the part of the reader. I know when I read a book like Teeth, Tails, and Tentacles, an animal counting book, I want to confirm that there are 14 rings on the lemur's tail and 17 stripes on that zebra. Using one-to-one correspondence, I touch each ring or stripe as I count the total number. That's exactly what we want children to do. Using the correct sequence, they should match the items being counted to a number in one-to-one fashion. They should also recognize that the number matched with the last item counted indicates how many there are all together. But good counting books do more than teach the mechanics of counting. They help children to begin to develop number sense, that intuition about numbers and their relationships. You see, it's not only important for children to be able to count a group of five, but they should also be able to describe that number in meaningful ways using different models. For example, five could be fingers on one hand or toes on one foot, the number that comes after four or before six, the square root of 25, one nickel, half of 10, and so on. Children build their understanding of numbers by seeing them in multiple ways, and counting books can be an important part of that learning. In the early stages of learning to count, children should be given books that clearly display a numeral and the appropriate number of objects in a clear and uncluttered illustration. Clear and uncluttered, however, does not mean linear. Counting the same objects in a straight line is much easier than counting those same things when they appear in a circle or are mixed up in some other fashion. Children need to determine where they'll start counting, where they'll finish, and must remember what has been counted along the way. This is one reason I like the book One Gorilla. As the author shares his list of things he loves, readers must search for them on the page. Finding two butterflies among the flowers is relatively easy, but how about four squirrels in the woods or seven frogs by the fence? Children must search for the animals and keep track of them as they do. This is exactly the kind of interactive reading a counting book should engender. Anno's counting book encourages this same kind of interactive reading. In a wordless picture book, readers are presented with a double-page spread with counting cubes on one side, a numeral on the other, and many different things to count on a page. One is not represented by only one picture on that page, but rather by one coniferous tree, one deciduous tree, one building, one child, one adult, one bird, and one mammal. Since the book goes to 12 and the illustrations reveal the seasons, we know that one, with its snow, represents January. The page for two reveals the snow beginning to melt, and we count two buildings, two trucks, two children, two adults, two rabbits, two deciduous trees, and two coniferous trees. This continues through 10, but the real genius and beauty of this book kicks in at 11. As you can imagine, the page is chock full of things to count, but most instructive for children is the way 11 is represented with counting cubes. For now, we see a stack of 10 with a single cube beside it. Young readers, welcome to the world of place value. In one simple image, children can begin to connect 11 with 1-10 and 1-1. This book may seem simple on its face, but it's elegant in its presentation. I love this book and think it's one of the best counting books for young children, save for one nagging problem. You see, Anno's counting book does not begin with the number 1, it begins with 0. Now think for a minute about all the other counting books you have seen. How many start with 0? My guess is not many. Even though 0 is an important number in our system of numeration, this wasn't always so. Early civilizations developed sophisticated systems of math long before the existence of 0. From the earliest times, numbers were used for counting objects or animals, such as goats in a herd or apples on a tree. Counting 0 apples or goats really makes no sense. I can understand why the author included 0. The page spread represents the numeral, an empty set of counting blocks, and an expansive, empty page. There is nothing to count here. Conceptually, it's a good idea, but it's not where I would start to count. My suggestion is to skip this page in the book and use it in isolation when teaching about the concept of zero. Despite the small problem that I see with Anno's counting book, I still recommend it for use with children. In fact, I often recommend books that have minor flaws, largely because I don't believe any book is perfect. When I evaluate books for use in instruction, I use several criteria and rate them on a continuum. It is the rare book that scores high in every category. In reviewing counting books for this piece, I looked at titles for accuracy of mathematical concepts, quality of the illustrations and/or narrative, age appropriateness, and usefulness for instruction. I found many books that stood out as fine examples of counting to 10, and many others that extend the concept of counting to larger numbers, counting by values other than one, counting back, and counting in other languages. So let's talk about some great counting books and how they might be used. The book Let's Count by Tana Hoban presents each number on a double-page spread. The left-hand page has a numeral, the word for the number, and dots to represent it. The right-hand page has a photo that represents the number. We move from one rooster to two ice cream cones to three circles, four balloons, and so on. The photographs are bright and beautifully present everyday items. When the numbers exceed 10, the dots on the page are arranged in groups of tens and ones. The book moves from 1 through 15, then counts by tens from 20 through 50, and ends with 100. There is much here for children to count, and a lot of math to consider. Another rather straightforward counting book I enjoy is Carolyn Lesser's Spots, Counting Creatures from Sky to Sea. It begins, "Spotted creatures wait for you. Snoop and find them. Count them too." Each page presents new spotted creatures pictured in their habitats for readers to count. From 1 to 10, we meet rays, salamanders, giraffes, butterflies, and other spotted animals. Each page presents the word for the number in the rhyming text, while the numeral appears near the end on the two pages that show all the spotted patterns, and again on one final double-page spread. This book has the added feature of a more-to-explore page that discusses the biomes the creatures come from. Terry Sloat's book, From 1 to 100, has a little bit of everything, including some interesting history. The adorable girl in the middle of the bottom row is her daughter, as she appeared in kindergarten. The other kindergartners in her school, plus the 10 in the book, and a few more make up the 100 characters in the picture. This is one book that really encourages readers to exercise their counting muscles. Along the bottom of each page, below the illustration, you will find the numeral, the word for the number, and multiple objects to be counted. For example, on the page for 3, you can count 3 opossums, 3 books, 3 beavers, 3 leaves, 3 trees, and 3 stumps. Each page shows the numeral represented in the illustration in some imaginative way. The numeral 3 has been chewed into a tree, while numeral 7 is a uniquely shaped cactus. After counting from 1 to 10, readers must count by tens to 100. Remember what I said about exercising your counting muscles? While immersing yourself in the gorgeous and funny illustrations, you can count 30 dinosaurs, 40 acrobats, 60 mice, 90 ants, and much, much more. In selecting counting books, it is important to include books that provide some measure of racial, cultural, and gender equity. A number of excellent counting titles are set in Africa. Moja Means One is a Caldecott honor book that introduces readers to East African culture while teaching how to count to 10 in Swahili. Each page presents the numeral, the word in Swahili with its phonetic pronunciation, and an illustration representing the number. We All Went on Safari, a counting journey through Tanzania, is a story written in rhyme that also introduces counting in Swahili. It begins, "We all went on safari when the day had just begun. We spied a lonely leopard. Arusha counted one." On each page, a different child counts the animals that are seen, from giraffes to lions to hippos and wildebeests. The written word appears in each rhyme on the page, as well as the numeral and word in Swahili. The book ends with informational pages on the animals of Tanzania, the Maasai people, Swahili names, facts about Tanzania, and counting in Swahili. The counting page presents the numeral, word in Swahili with phonetic pronunciation, English word, and dots that represent the number. Amika's Gift, an African counting story, follows a young boy as he travels to visit his grandmother. Readers learn a bit about village life in Nigeria while counting the people and things Amika sees along the way. Each page presents the numeral, written word, photographs showing the objects or people to be counted, and a description of the subject's significance in Nigerian culture. In addition to books that count to 10, it is important for children to master the art of counting back. This skill begins to lay the foundation for understanding subtraction. There are many books that count up to 10 and back down again, but some outstanding books simply count back. 10 on a Train, a countdown book, contains cutouts on each page that show animal friends riding in different vehicles. At the top of the page is the numeral identifying the number of animals and the mode of transportation. The book begins with 10 on a train, but when Badger goes the wrong way, the animals follow Squirrel to become 9 on a bus. One by one, an animal is left behind and a new mode of transportation must be found. Readers count back as the animals ride familiar vehicles, such as a boat and a plane, as well as some oddities, like the go-kart and hovercraft. 10 Little Mummies is a rhyming counting book that follows 10 mummies who have left their tomb to play. Each double-page spread shows the mummies playing while one member of the group encounters some type of disaster. The counting sequence begins. 10 little mummies went out to have fun. One suffered heat stroke and ran from the sun. 9 little mummies dove in the Nile. One swam away from a big crocodile. All works out in the end when one lonely mummy returns to the tomb to find the other 9. 10 Sly Piranhas, a counting story in reverse, is subtitled A Tale of Wickedness and Worse. While there are no numerals on these pages, there are bright pink fish to count, with the written word appearing in the text. In this tale, one sly piranha grows bigger as he systematically eats the other members of his school. Near the end, we read, a single sly piranha was swimming in the river, more cunning than the other, for he's vanquished every one. Thought he'd grown so clever, he could eat up anybody. But snap, went old Croc. And then there were none. Once children are comfortable counting forwards and backwards by one, counting by values other than one becomes a focus. Books that demonstrate counting by twos, fives, and tens can provide a useful introduction to skip counting. In Two Ways to Count to 10, a Liberian folktale, readers learn that Leopard, king of all the other animals, has decided to hold a contest to find his successor. The winner will be the animal that throws a spear into the air and counts to 10 before it hits the ground. Many animals try, but no matter how strong they are, not one can throw the spear high enough or count quickly enough. Finally, a clever antelope wins the competition by counting to 10 by twos. In How Many Seeds in a Pumpkin, a class arrives at school one day to find 3 pumpkins, one small, one medium, and one large, sitting on the teacher's desk. As the class thinks about the title question, they share their ideas. Students then begin the task of removing the seeds from the pumpkins. Once the seeds are dried, they are placed in bags for students to count. The seeds from the big pumpkin are counted by twos, the seeds from the medium pumpkin by fives, and the seeds from the small pumpkin by tens. Even though this is a worthy counting title, there is a great deal more math that can be explored. Lining up pumpkins by size provides an opportunity to explore seriation and ordinal numbers. Guessing the number of seeds provides an opportunity to explore estimation. There is mention of even and odd numbers. The images of the pumpkin seeds in arrays provides an opportunity to talk about multiplication, division, and remainders. And students can talk about the concepts of greater than and less than when comparing the number of seeds in each pumpkin. One of the reasons I'm so fond of How Many Seeds in a Pumpkin and other books like it is because these books can extend learning beyond the counting skills I have identified. Sometimes the lessons in the books are moral ones. In other cases, they provide opportunities to connect math to other areas of the curriculum or to the real world, where children can see the relevance of math in their daily lives. There are many more wonderful counting books available to support instruction. I haven't been able to name or highlight them all here, but I am interested in continuing this conversation. Please click on the comment link and leave me your thoughts about what makes a good counting book and counting books you love.